All right, the title of my message is Dads Matter. A few of you. Was that you, Dave? Were you the first one? Dave's always vocal from the sound desk. He's a good man and he's a good dad. Dads matter. Do you agree? So we're going to look at this a little bit and I'll give you some statistics which are quite sad and then I'll hopefully boost you up again before we go. So one of the most undervalued people in society are our dads. Many fathers underestimate their own value. So I want to say today, dads, you matter. Dads, you really do. And so all the dads, all the granddads, all the foster dads, all the guardian dads, any kind of dad, can you stand to your feet? Please stand. All the dads, granddads, foster dads, whoever you are, guardian dad, please stand. All the dads. Is that everyone? We're all standing. Can we give these guys an awesome hand? Yeah, come on. Let's give it up for our dads. And isn't it great to have dads in the house of God? You may be seated. Thanks for being here. I found this quote from the UK Mail, Daily Mail, which was written in 2016. Well, not, it was an article. So UK Daily Mail 2016 says this. We live in a world where we are encouraged to take care of our own and our children's health. We are constantly admonished to take exercise, eat healthily, wear a cycle helmet, study the side of the package, stop smoking, recycle, combat global warming, brush our teeth, control our drinking habits, and have health checks. But when it comes to the one issue that does more harm to the next generation than any of these, the absence of a father in the family, there is a conspiracy of silence. Dads matter. Whatever the thinking is in our society about our fathers, the Bible gives us a very clear picture of the importance of dads and their significance in society, to the family, and to help father others not biological to them. Who knows that in the house of God we have the privilege of being parents to some other children that maybe don't have kids? And what a great privilege that is for us as dads, and maybe, you know, we help someone else's children that isn't as privileged as us that have fathers. So a few verses on why dads matter. In Proverbs 20, verse 7, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. So a good man, a God-honoring man, do we have any of those in the house today? Will conduct himself well. And their good example will secure a blessing to their children. It's an important role being a dad, isn't it? What about this one? Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. When children listen to the correction of their father, they acquire wisdom. Kids, are you listening this morning? Older kids that are in the service. And lastly, before we talk a little bit more about this subject of dads, why dads matter, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Early training sets up a great godly pattern for our kids to walk securely and habitually in the ways of God. You know, we have some great dads here at C3, some amazing dads, and it's great that you're all here today. I had this particular man, Edward Cruck, actually wrote his PhD on why dads matter. And so I thought he, being because he studied it so well, he'd be an interesting guy to talk about some of the statistics on this. And he starts in his article. According to UNICEF, an organisation working with disadvantaged children, in the United States, Canada and the United Kingdom, children rank extremely low in regard to social and emotional well-being in particular. Many theories have been advanced to explain the poor state of our nation's children, child poverty, race and social class. But a factor that has been largely ignored, however, particularly among child and family policy makers, is the prevalence and devastating effects of father absence in children's lives. And he gives some examples. Children's diminished self-concept, emotional insecurity. 71% of high school dropouts are fatherless. Delinquency and youth crime. 85% of youth in prison have an absent father. Fatherless children are more likely to offend and go to jail as adults. Promiscuity and teen pregnancy. Fatherless children are more likely to experience problems with sexual health, including a greater likelihood of having sex before the age of 16, contraception during first, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff that I won't even go read that some of the things, because we're in church. Drug and alcohol abuse. Fatherless children are more likely to smoke and drink alcohol and abuse drugs. Homelessness, 90% of runaway children have an absent father. Significantly more psychosomatic health symptoms and illness such as acute and chronic pain, asthma, headaches and stomach aches related to absent fathers. Mental health disorders. Life chances. As adults, fatherless children are more likely to experience unemployment, have low incomes, remain on social assistance, and experience homelessness. Future relationships. Father-absent children tend to enter partnerships early, are more likely to divorce or dissolve their cohabiting unions, and more likely to have children outside of marriage or outside any partnership. Who feels depressed? These are facts. Recent facts of this guy who's done his PhD on the importance of fathers in families. And so may I say again, we have some of the finest dads here at C3 Frio this morning. If you're in church and you're bringing up your kids in the ways of God, if you're sitting next to your granddad or your dad, why don't you just say, you're awesome. You're amazing. Okay, now you can tell me as well. So what dads will do. Now, let me just talk about this for a moment. What dads will do. They will have some kind of nighttime ritual with their kids to help put love into the life of that child. My daughter Sarah rang me yesterday and actually sent me a text today, and if I get time, I may even read the text that she sent me this morning. While she was going into church herself, because she's in Sydney, it's 2 hours in front, and we were chatting, and she says, "You know what I remember about you, Dad? That every night when I was growing up," because she thinks she's a really big kid now, because she's 20, and she said, "I never used to want you to read me a story. Although you were a good reader, I always wanted you to do those stories from your head." And I says, "You're right. It was Henry the Rabbit and Harry the Wombat." And she said, "You've got an amazing memory." And then she said, "You should have written a children's book." And I used to keep them entertained. Jared, you probably remember some of those, although he used to walk out a fair bit of the time. But Sarah was just enthralled by these stories. And I'd bring octopuses into the story, and I'd bring all these other nasty creatures. And Sarah just loved it. You know, how important is it to have these little moments with our kids? Then she added, and she says, "You used to take me on coffee dates, Dad." And then she said, "You were fun and cheeky." And she says, "Oh, I remember this one time." Well, not one time. She used to drive me. I used to drive because of I don't have to start till 9 o'clock most days. So I used to drive Sarah and Jared and a couple of other kids. Can't remember their names now. A couple of other kids used to pick them up in Fremantle and take them to St. Patrick's, was in Fremantle. And Sarah goes, do you remember what you used to do in the car? Now, Dad, women would never do this. Mums wouldn't do this. And so I would be in the car and I had a four-wheel drive and suddenly the road was there, but there was a nice verge. And so I'd just go up the verge. And or I'd spin the wheel and make them fall into one another as they're driving along in the car. You know, she thought it was hilarious. And all the kids in the back seat, boof, 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 from end to end. Mum's just horrified. But they're things that dads do, just for a bit of mischief. I remember, just so Jared feels a little bit included this morning, I remember taking Jared, my son, as a three-year-old, down to the beach to push him onto waves bigger than he was. And now he still surfs. In fact, we surf together sometimes. We have our bonding moments. It's the only time we bond, actually. But anyway. They're great dads. They'll hug and kiss their kids. They'll tell them regularly that they're loved. Kids' love buckets have leaks in them. They need to be filled with fresh love every day. Great dads don't collapse on the couch after work. Rather, on their way home from work, they reprogram themselves. I've got the most important job to do when I get home, and that is to be with my kids. If you are anything like me, you have to prepare yourself to be loving dads, right? It's not something that, you know, we have to actually prepare our minds so that when we get home, we don't switch off, but we're actually involved with our family. Secondly, dads set limits and adjust character. Dads are very good at setting limits for their kids. Discipline is an important part of fathering for the best outcome. In Proverbs 22:15, it says this, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. You know, the baby that you bring home from the hospital and you put it in the cot the first night, wasn't that funny, that little video of that dad in the cot, you know, but as soon as it gets home, it's scheming up ways that it can keep mum and dad up all night long. It will cry, and you'll feed it, and it'll cry again. And just when you think you've got it to sleep, and you've gone to sleep for an hour, the thing will go, aah! And it'll wake up again. And after night after night after this, you're an emotional wreck. Don't they know we have to go to work? Don't we know we've got things to do? And that's the life of being a parent. Who knows it gets better? No, some of you aren't convinced, I can tell. Well, it gets more expensive as they get older. Dads have been charged with chasing the foolishness out of their kids. Attitudes that raise their ugly heads. Not telling the whole truth. Being manipulative to get their own way. Blaming their sibling. Dads are charged with setting limits and enforcing those limits. And there are consequences when the child is non-compliant. Dads know how to be consistent about these things. Dads matter because they know whose job it is to get their kids to tell the truth and not become a chronic liar. Dads help their children to share their things with others. Fantastic dads help their children to be courteous rather than rude. To be timely. Everyone say the word timely. Instead of tardy. That's what dads help with. Respectful instead of cocky. Consistent boundaries, day in and day out. Dads know that the outcome of their kids' upbringing will help in the end goal, their life ahead. And dads who parent like the Bible says they should, with irrational love and setting appropriate limits and enforcing them. Over time, kids realize they want to be more and more like their dad, and it inspires them. And the truth is, there's a certain model of dad that some kids do not want to model. And they will say, I don't want to be like him. I don't want to be an angry, rude, disparaging of others, absent, drunk. It takes a lot of work to unmodel and reprocess. What about stuff fathers do that never gets written in books? I was thinking about this the other day. And yet there are things that really mark dads deeply and our role in society. And that is that dads assess. Dads assess. They are carefully assessing the activity level of their kids. Sports activities, music lessons, tutoring, dance classes, the list goes on. Kids are so busy in today's world, neither them nor their parents can make time regularly for one weekend service per week, let alone attend a connect group. We have to ask a question, I think, as fathers, especially if we're here in the house of God. Is more activity always better for a child? Unlimited TV time. Unlimited game time. No limits. And one of the best gifts a father can give a son or a daughter is a conversation about whether the activity in their kids' lives is constructive or destructive. Is the current activity level soul-destroying or soul-filling? Assessments have to be made with each child because they're all different. We all have a spiritual tank, an emotional tank, a physical tank, and a recreational tank. And if dads do nothing to help balance his kids' lives, there's going to be issues. And the one that is actually huge is this: bring up your child in the ways of God and they will not depart from it. Whether they like it or not. What did I just say? Whether they like it or not. They will benefit in the long run. Tough love pays off. If you have to drag them screaming and kicking to church, bring them. See, other areas that are important to being a dad. My dad recognized that, and my dad's been dead for 22 years now. I was thinking about him, though, when I was doing this message. And he recognized early on that I was not one to sit around. I needed activity. And I remember that he paid for me actually to go on a skiing holiday when I was in 14, 15 years of old. I'll never forget that trip. He helped me get my scuba diving license when I was 16 years old. I still scuba dive today. He knew that I needed activity in my life. He realized that I was different to my brother, and he needed different other things. But me, I just needed to keep active quite a lot. And as a family, we'd always holiday together a few times a year. I remember some of those holidays. We'd do these driving holidays for hours and hours and hours. Are we there yet, Dad? But you know what? Dad recognized who I was, that downtime was vital for my makeup, and he helped model it for me. And how to work hard as well. You don't want your kids saying when they are older, you were too busy for them. So what kind of thoughts are your kids having? It's a good question to ask yourself. What kind of thoughts are your kids having? Are they about music? Are they about the pop culture? Are they about the latest game? Are they about Marvel Comics, Avengers, whatever it is that you know? Do they have thoughts about Jesus? And part of a father's role is to help guard the hearts of our kids. The Bible says we are to guard our hearts and our minds. Four, dads set an example. Dads set an example. Nothing has a greater impact. You're going to turn the slide for me? Nothing has a greater impact on the life of a child than the example that the father sets. Actions speak volumes to our kids. Do they ever see you pray or read the Bible? Then there's times of hanging out together, family holidays, like I was mentioning. Whatever it is that you do that bonds you with your children. My dad, like all dads, as my daughter reminded me this morning, I have faults. When she texted me, you're not the perfect dad, but you're all right. You know, I guess, you know, she was just being honest, and I know I'm not a perfect dad. Aren't we glad we don't have to be perfect dads? We don't have to be perfect, but there's certain things that will help us. Dad on Sundays always took us kids to church. And during the week, we hosted a connect group at our home. And more often than not, we had the youth over because we had a swimming pool at our place. And most Friday, Saturday nights, there was youth over our place bombing in the pool, which my dad hated, but he put up with it because it was a great time together. I have ingrained in the back of my brain, dad standing army style, because he had a military background. And he was shouting these military orders in church. He was at the front of the stage here and all the children were on the stage and he was making sure every line was lined up how he wanted them. And I was totally embarrassed. But you know what? When I think of it now as an older man, I think I'm glad he modeled that for me instead of lots of other things that he could have been doing with his time. So when I look back now, I'm grateful for Mont's sermon. I didn't have him for as long as some dads do or some people do. Certainly not as long as we would have liked as a family. Do you know what? Deuteronomy 6:7. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Dads, impress the word of God into your children. Talk about the importance of character, of attitudes, of beliefs, of values. You don't have to have a full-on Bible study. But you can model these things from your own life and teach these things in such a way that your kids get it. Number five, dads are there. Say it with me, dads are. Yeah. There's far more to life than just work. Turn to your neighbour and say, there's far more to life than just work. Cheryl Goodman wrote an article in 2016, the Journal of Abnormal Social Psychology. Her report focused on the effects of absent fathers due to their work as Norwegian sailors who were at sea for 1 to 2 year stints at a time. These are her conclusions. Father absent boys would show immaturity and were insecure in their identification with their father. Father absent boys would show stronger strivings toward father identification and they would compensate or overcompensate by bullying others. Children also demonstrated poorer peer adjustment and father absent girls would become more dependent on their mother than would father present girls. How important is it to be a great dad? Or at least to be dad? Whenever a dad has a company first mindset or a money mindset, his wife and children will suffer. We have a 12 to 15 year window with our children. It's a window we can never retrieve. The company we work for is not that important. The money is not that important. Your connection level with your wife and kids is of the highest value. And if you don't, you know, if you're not in that typical Christian family, your connection level with your kids is still really important, whatever your circumstances are. So your father loves like no other can. Psalm 103 verse 13 says this, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him." What this verse really means is fathers know how to show compassion for their kids. He has learnt from the Father of all, from Father God, so that he can impart the greatest love of all into his kids. And a father leaves a legacy. 3 John 1:4 says this, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Can we all agree with that today? Maybe I will share Sarah's text since you all thought it was funny earlier. Talking about leaving a legacy, we find it here. She's walking into church. She just got herself her almond milk coffee, she was telling me. She likes to explain every detail to me, my daughter. And as she walked into church, she says this, "The thing I am most thankful for is, as you being my father, is that you raised me up in the house of God. You've always been strong in faith, even when everything feels like it's crumbling around you. You don't give up trusting in God. And I am the young, bold, confident woman of God I am today because of the Christ example you've always shown me." I just wanted to say that, Dad, she says. You know, church, Christ is coming back for his bride. His bride is the church. It's not our busy life. It's not our careers. It's not our money. I have been turning to my godly father for 22 years. And obviously longer than that, but since my dad died. And I'm encouraged by this scripture, whoever you are here today, regardless of your family life or lack of it. In Psalm 68, just the short version says this, "God is a father to the fatherless." God is a father to the? Let's say it one more time. God is a father to the? Whoever you are. Like me, although my natural dad's not here, I have a father. You have a father. Will you reach out to God today? I need some help with this life. I need his forgiveness. I need something from him to get through. Jesus will help. Jesus will prove himself faithful. He is strong and his hand is extended all the time. And mums and dads, we are not in this alone. We do not have to be another statistic. Father God is with you. Will you have the humility to reach his hand today? Will you allow Him to guide you? It is worth paying the price for raising children in a God-honoring way. You're not crazy for holding kids to the right kind of limits. You're not crazy for correcting their behaviours. You're not crazy for making them come to church. Obviously, once they become an adult, that's up to them then. You're not crazy for stopping them going out drinking. And if you haven't been parenting in a godly way and you do feel like you've screwed up, it's never too late to turn around. Can we stand to our feet, church, before we close this morning? I want to ask every person here, dad or otherwise, today, will you grab God's hand today and walk with Him? Will you be the kind of person, whoever is here today, that actually has some humility and recognizes that we have a Father that is above all fathers that we can trust, rely on, and be secure in? Will you grab His hand today? Will you have a relationship with the one and only Father God who sent His Son to die for you and I? He can help you. Dads, you matter. So I want to give an opportunity for people that may be in our service today that haven't received Jesus, or today you want to recommit your life to Christ. And I'd love for us to pray this prayer together in a moment and invite Jesus into our hearts. In fact, let's do that right now. Please repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You that You love me. I thank You You died on the cross for me. Thank You, Father, for allowing Your Son to take my pain, to take my sin, to take my baggage. I give it to You now, Lord. Take leadership today. In His name, the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. With every head bowed and eye closed, those of you who have never received Jesus as Lord of your life, please raise your hand right now. You've never received Jesus as Lord of your life, please raise your hand right now. I'll see it and you can pop it down again. Thank You, Jesus. Those of you who would love to recommit your life today, reconnect with Him, please raise your hand right now. Thank you, I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand. Awesome. Fantastic. We have a prayer team that will pray for those people in just a moment. But before we do that, I just want to give one last opportunity. Those of you who would like to recommit your life, please just raise your hand. Those people that have raised their hands, can we give them a clap for their courage in doing that today? Thank You, Father. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, we just pray today, whatever our family situation, whatever our upbringing, we thank You that You are the Father of the fatherless. We thank You that whether we have dads or not, that you still are our greatest Father. And we can trust your word. And we can trust relationships that we have with others that have the same faith and the same God, because, Lord, you have created us to journey with you into eternity. We thank you that we are your bride and we're going to be with you forever. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Happy Father's Day. See you at Wellard, 5 o'clock, if you'd like to come. By the prayer team, please, if you put your hand up, please don't go until the prayer team's talked to you. That'd be fantastic. God bless you, church.